When the prophet Daniel completed his prophecy, we read here in chapter 2, verse 46 and on, then the king Nebuchadnezzar fell upon his face and worshipped Daniel. Why? A great relief. He saw that what disturbed him is not a direct threat to his existence, to his throne, to his rulership. And the king commanded that they should offer an oblation and sweet oil unto Daniel as unto God. The king answered unto Daniel and said, for the truth it is that your God is a God of gods and the Lord of kings and the revealer of secrets, seeing thou couldest reveal this secret. A great sign flashed into the face of the king Nebuchadnezzar, and he realized that God is great, God is almighty. And he gave honor to the God of gods and to the voice of prophecy, Daniel the prophet. But shortly after that, chapter 3, King Nebuchadnezzar made an image of gold. Again, the king Nebuchadnezzar is magnifying himself. He forgot about the true God just as quickly as he received the revelation. And Nebuchadnezzar is asking everyone to worship him. Now, I don't know if this chapter 3 happened before the schooling on the Babylonian University was completed. Did this happen? Was this great image of the king Nebuchadnezzar built after the 4 years of his reign or before? I would prefer that this happened before the final exam. But, of course, I have no way of proving that it did or did not. In any case, the king made himself a god. He's sitting on his throne. His royal court is around him. All the nobles, the highest rank officers are all there. Everything is a blitz of his glory and majesty. And there is that huge image of gold, and there is the royal orchestra, the best musicians selected from all 120 kingdoms and so on, and they are going to make this worship of King Nebuchadnezzar so majestic, so great that everyone will feel honored, exalted to worship King Nebuchadnezzar, to make himself completely a god in his own eyes, in his own mind, or in the mind of his advisors. There is a hell also. Serving the king will be the paradise, the best music, the royal feast. But rejecting, refusing to serve the king means going to hell. There is the furnace. And so all the people see everything and all the people choose to worship the king. 120 kingdoms lay down flat before the king Nebuchadnezzar. All the people, in his mind, that was the whole world, is worshipping the king Nebuchadnezzar. Everything is fallen down to the dust of the earth before the king Nebuchadnezzar. No, not everything. The kingdom of God stands above. There are three tiny figures somewhere in that massive number of people worshipping the king. Three lone figures, the servants of the Almighty God. And they stand upright. They did not bow down, they did not worship the king Nebuchadnezzar, and the music of obedience to the Almighty God and faithfulness to his commandment was more beautiful in their ears than all the music of the royal orchestra. The king Nebuchadnezzar is furious. No, it cannot be. No one is exempt. Everybody must worship King Nebuchadnezzar. Everybody must acknowledge that he is the King of Kings. But the Lord God Almighty says, no. Someone is going to voice the truth for God. The King Nebuchadnezzar realized that he needs these people. He needs the three companions of Daniel, and he needs Daniel also. And Daniel is somewhere there. I wonder how come Daniel was not caught as the fourth, one of the four that did not worship his image. I would think that Daniel was sitting right next to the royal throne, among those that were watching this act of worship of the king, Nebuchadnezzar. among those that were highly honored to be around the throne of the king. I think that Daniel was there silently praying to the Almighty God for his three brothers. Among all the captives of Judah, he had nobody else, just these three brothers. And we know the story. The king Nebuchadnezzar was outraged. He quickly called when they were brought before the king. The king Nebuchadnezzar spake, "Is it true, Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego? Do not ye serve my gods, nor worship the golden image which I have set up? Now, if ye be ready, that at what time ye hear the sound of the music, ye fall down and worship the image which I have made, we will forget the past and look forward into the future. But if ye worship not, ye shall be cast the same hour into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. And who is that God that shall deliver you out of my hands?" Imagine, it almost looks like Satan has achieved his old desire. I will be equal with the Almighty. And these three men answer to the king, "O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter. No fear, no trembling. We are not very careful to answer. Why? King Nebuchadnezzar, thou shouldst have known the answer already. God has given thee sufficiently many signs to know that there is one God that can do everything that is pleasing to him." And they say, "If it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace." There it is. Everybody can see the furnace. "And he will deliver us out of thine hand, O king." What did they say? God has the power. Whether he is going to deliver us so that we be not cast into the fiery furnace, or we be cast into the fiery furnace and he deliver us anyway, or we burn in that fire, we are delivered anyway. "And if God will choose not to deliver us, let it be known to thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up." There is that mighty king Nebuchadnezzar, superpower and superpowerless. He can do nothing to break the spirit of the servants of God, those that are ready and willing to suffer no matter what. Then was Nebuchadnezzar full of fury. Satan is showing his real face in the face of Nebuchadnezzar. And the form of his face was changed. He is really looking like a mad beast. And he spake and commanded, "Heat the furnace 7 times more." And he commanded the mighty men, the most mighty men in his army, "Bind these three men, cast them into the fiery furnace." And these men were bound. Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, actually Azariah, Mishael, Ananiah. These men were bound in their coats, in their old garments, in their royal uniform, and they were cast into the midst of the fiery furnace. Because the king's commandment was urgent, and the furnace exceeding hot, the flame of the fire slew those men that took Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And these three men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, fell down bound into the midst of the fiery furnace. All these people, and the king, and the royal court, and Daniel, in his prayers, they're all watching what's going to happen. And all these people see, it's a dangerous thing to serve the king Nebuchadnezzar when his commandment is against the commandment of the Almighty God. His best men, the strongest men of his army, are dead there near by the fiery furnace. And they watch what happened in that lake of flame in the fiery furnace. The king Nebuchadnezzar is watching. His people are watching. His court is watching. Everybody is watching. And then everybody is looking at the king Nebuchadnezzar. What next? Because something awful and something awesome is taking place. And no one dares say anything. But they look at the king, and the king sees that he is the next. He is the next one to be cast into the fiery furnace. If his court if his people, if his armies realize that the commandments and the direction of the King Nebuchadnezzar is sending them to positive certain death, then, well, let us kill the king and get rid of him. Why should we die and let him live on our backs? And the King Nebuchadnezzar is astonished. All of his power, all of his might, that one moment is turning against him. He has to do something. He cannot tell some of his ministers or some of his companions, go and talk to these men in the fiery furnace. Why? The strongest man of his army just got killed by the flames. He has to do something. Then the King Nebuchadnezzar said to his court, to his counselors, and he does not say, I cast them into the furnace. You know how he said to the three men, are you not going to worship the image that I have made? He didn't say we have made. I have made. I, Nebuchadnezzar. And now, when he is facing danger, he said, did not we cast three men bound into the fire? He does not want to be alone. He does not want to be above everybody. Why? Because he is in danger. He is threatened. There is a power that is high above all the kings and the King of Kings, Nebuchadnezzar. The king is kind of trying to sink a little bit deeper, and he didn't do it alone. We did it. Then they answer to the king, true, O king, and they stop. They don't talk much. Everybody is afraid because the presence of the Almighty God is there in the furnace, is there in all of the kingdom of Babylon. The king said, but look, I see four men. They're walking in the midst of the fire, and they have no hurt. And the form of the fourth is like the, I think King stammered at this point, Son of God. I think he almost fainted when he said this. Who's going to talk to them? Who's going to make the correction for the king? Nobody. He has no one to represent him before the Almighty God. He has to do it himself. And the King Nebuchadnezzar, as humbly, as meekly as he could, he came as near to the door of the burning fiery furnace, but not nearer. He does not want to be burned. As he is coming closer, he feels the heat. He is not secured against the heat of the fire, as God and his servants are. The King Nebuchadnezzar is speaking, not furious, not in a mighty voice, not with any arrogancy. He is pleading, he is asking Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, and he is very reverent. He says, ye servants of the Most High God. Nebuchadnezzar, in his words and his manner, worships the God Almighty. Please come forth and come here. Come here to the stage. Come here to the special exalted place where the royal court is, where the throne of King Nebuchadnezzar is. Then these three men came forth out of the midst of fire. As they were leaving, did they turn back and wave farewell to the fourth? You don't think so. Yes, I think you are right. He was with them. He was with them. Perhaps the king and his royal court did not see the fourth man anymore. But he was right there. I'm not talking about Daniel. He was there too. I'm talking about the fourth one out of the midst of the fiery furnace. The messenger of God. He was still with them, and he is going to speak through his witnesses. All the princes, governors, captains, king's counselors, being gathered together, saw these men, upon whose bodies the fire had no power, nor was an hair of their head singed, neither were their coats changed, not even the smell of fire had passed on them. Then Nebuchadnezzar spake and said, blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. This is wonderful. That's great what the king is saying, but something is lacking. He should have said, blessed be the God whose servant I want to be. That's the problem. He didn't come to the point of surrendering to that Almighty God. But the king is acknowledging the supremacy, the royal majesty of the king above all kings. Blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who hath sent his angel and delivered his servants that trusted in him, and have changed the king's word, and yielded their bodies, that they might not serve nor worship any god except their own God. O Christians, today's Christians, whom do we worship today? How often we worship anything but our God? How often our decisions are very similar to the decisions of the King Nebuchadnezzar. I. But as soon as we see that we hit the stone wall, we did that. Oh, you know, my parents, my teachers, my country, my environment, my upbringing, the way I was raised, and this and that, anything but plain and simple acknowledgement. I sinned. I have sinned. Oh God, have mercy. That's what King Nebuchadnezzar is still lacking. And then after that, Lord, what wilt thou have me do? As Saul of Tarsus said. And then, right after that, Saul of Tarsus declared, Jesus is the Christ. King Nebuchadnezzar has not reached that point. But he's making a decree. I make a decree. Here he is again. I. Even in honoring the Lord, it's I. Big I. Oh, that's part of English alphabet. I has to be big, you see. Capital. Therefore, I make a decree that every people, nation, and language which speak anything amiss against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego shall be cut in pieces. That he goes again with his psychology. And their houses shall be made a dunghill, because there is no other God that can deliver after such sort. Why don't you, King Nebuchadnezzar, ask this God to spread the wings of his mercy over you? Why don't you become his servant? Why not? The king promoted Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. But the king remained in his sin and in his pride, his self-will. Finally, we come to the chapter 4. The king Nebuchadnezzar continued honoring the Lord God as another king, not my king, but another king, in a diplomatic way, in a way of respecting and reverencing that other king, in the hope that I will take advantage of him at some time. Is that the way we worship the Lord? Is he our servant? Is he the great God that is sitting in a corner of our household, in a closed room, and when we need him, we just go there and we tell him, I want you to do this or that for me? Or are we servants in his royal court? Are we the voice of his truth, one ray of his light? Are we the example of humble and meek Lamb of God, the sheep of his flock? The king Nebuchadnezzar had to learn this one way or another. And in chapter 4, he is learning something. Verse 4, I, Nebuchadnezzar, was at rest in my house and flourishing in my palace. He was as much Nebuchadnezzar as he ever was. I saw a dream which made me afraid. It's so good. I just enjoy that when the mighty get afraid. And the thought upon my bed and the visions of my head troubled me. Therefore made I a decree to bring in all the wise men of Babylon. But why? King Nebuchadnezzar, what about Daniel? What about his three companions? Why do you go around and around and around? Why don't you go straightly and directly to the Almighty God and ask him, and forget about the astrologers, forget about soothsayers, forget about your idols and your politicians and so on. Focus on the Lord God Almighty. No. He will turn to God only when there is nothing else and nobody else to speak to. Nothing else to use. He will try everything else before he turned to God. He almost looks like a modern preacher. Like one of those contemporary miracle doers. I don't want to offend them, otherwise I will call them liars. Because that's what they are. The magicians and the astrologers and Chaldeans and soothsayers, and they all come before the king. But they cannot make known unto him the dream and the interpretation thereof. At the last, Daniel came in before me, whose name was Belteshazzar, according to the name of my God. You see, the king Nebuchadnezzar is talking two languages. He is calling Daniel, Daniel, and also Belteshazzar, the name of an idol. And in whom, king says, in this Daniel is the spirit of the holy gods, plural. The king Nebuchadnezzar still considers the almighty God to be one of the gods. If Christians do the same, if we do the same, we are no better, we are worse than the king Nebuchadnezzar. If the Lord Jesus Christ is one of the kings, and Mr. Green Dollar is another king, and our own will is the king of kings, then we are lost as we can be. And before Daniel, I, the king Nebuchadnezzar, told the dream, and I said, O Belteshazzar, master of the magicians. See, the king Nebuchadnezzar likes ceremony. He likes glory, he likes majesty, he likes titles, he likes everything. The more he honors Belteshazzar, the more the king himself is honored, because Belteshazzar is his servant. And the king said, O Belteshazzar, master of magicians, because I know that the spirit of the holy gods is in thee, and no secret troubles thee, tell me the visions of my dream that I have seen, and the interpretation thereof. Thus were the visions of my head in my bed. I saw and behold a tree in the midst of the earth, and the height thereof was great, and so on. And the whole dream was a great mystery, but very dramatic, something colossal. A grandeur is going to take place, but it's a grandeur of change. In the verse number 18, the king Nebuchadnezzar is closing his stories, and he says, this dream I, king Nebuchadnezzar, have seen. Now thou, O Belteshazzar, declare the interpretation thereof, for as much as all the wise men of my kingdom are not able to make known unto me the interpretation, but thou art able, for the spirit of the holy gods is in thee. Then Daniel, whose name was Belteshazzar, was astonished for 1 hour. Why? And his thoughts troubled him. Why? The king looked at the face of Daniel, and the king said, Belteshazzar, let not the dream or the interpretation thereof trouble thee. Daniel had such grief, such agony in his face. I don't know for sure. I think Daniel wept. I think he cried. But in any case, the king Nebuchadnezzar saw in Daniel's face an agonizing grief. I will tell you what I think about this. I think that Daniel watched the signs and the signals that the Almighty God signaled in the face of King Nebuchadnezzar. And Daniel desired in his heart that someday this arrogant, this proud, this beast in the human form will be humbled and will know the Almighty God and will become the servant of the Almighty God. In such a way, Daniel loved the king. And now Daniel see that the king has not been converted. After all these signs, the king is still a very sinful person. And the Almighty God is going to discipline the king in a severe way. It's not going to be death. It's going to be the loss of mind. And I think the loss of mind is an awful disciplining. It's an awful thing. When did all of the humanity lose their mind? When we turned from the obedience to the Almighty God and covered ourselves with our excuses, with the fig leaves, refusing the skin garment of the Lamb of God. Belteshazzar answered and said, my Lord, the dream be to them that hate thee, and the interpretation thereof to thine enemies. And then Daniel told the king, O king, thou art going to be disciplined. The Almighty God is going to cut down thy pride. The Almighty God is going to visit thee for thy stubborn disobedience to his will. In verse 24 and on, this is the interpretation, O king, And this is the decree of the Most High, which is come upon my Lord the King. They shall drive thee from men, and thy dwelling shall be with the beasts of the field. And they shall make thee to eat grass as oxen do. And they shall wet thee with the dew of heaven, and seven times shall pass over thee, till thou know that the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men, and giveth it to whomsoever he will. You see, once the king Nebuchadnezzar lost his mind, how can he know that the Almighty is ruling over the kingdoms of the earth? If he was not able to see all of that when he was with the maximum capacity of his mind, how is he going to see that without his mind? Or God is going to give him a different mind.
No man
is going to see and understand the wisdom of the kingdom of God and his salvation until we realize that we lost our mind whenever we reach out for sin, whenever we turn to do something against the will of God. Being outside of the obedience to the Almighty is actually loss of mind. It's foolishness. It's darkness. And there is an advice in the verse 27.
Verse 27.
Wherefore, Daniel is speaking, O king, let my counsel be acceptable unto thee. Break away from thy sins by righteousness, and from thy iniquities by showing mercy to the poor. Millions were suffering in that great kingdom of Babylon. And Daniel says, do this. Maybe that God will allow some lengthening of thy tranquility. Did the king accept the advice of Daniel? No. No, he did not. To exalt those, or to lift up those that are greatly humiliated, to help the suffering, we can do only if we humble ourselves and if we decide to suffer with them. That's what our Lord Jesus did. He would not take the sinful man into the kingdom. He came down to this earth and took our sins upon him. And then the way of salvation was open and the door of heaven was open and the fallen children of Adam became the beloved children of the Heavenly Father. At the end of 12 months, the king Nebuchadnezzar is walking in the palace of his kingdom in Babylon. The king is looking. Great buildings, magnificent palaces, and above all, the highest, the greatest, the most fascinating building is his own palace. And on top of that palace, high above everybody else, he is walking and he's huffing and puffing. The king spake and said, is not this great Babylon that I have built for the house of the kingdom by the might of my power? Here he goes again. I. And for the honor of my majesty. He did not finish all the way the words that he was saying. There came a voice from heaven. King Nebuchadnezzar, to thee it is spoken. Listen to this, king. The kingdom is departed from thee. And now, thou art driven from among the men. Thy dwelling is with the beasts of the field. And thou art eating grass as oxen. And seven times will pass over thee until thou realize that the Most High rules in the kingdom of men and gives it to whomsoever he will. At this moment, King Nebuchadnezzar opened his eyes and saw that God has a fiery furnace much more awful than any one that King Nebuchadnezzar and his advisors, counselors ever designed and built. Something dark and deep and bottomless opened before him, and he just dropped into that abyss. The same hour, the thing was fulfilled upon Nebuchadnezzar, and he was driven from men. What happened? His bodyguard, his counselors, his court, they all got around him, they grabbed him, and they dragged him out and closed him into a place like a wild beast. Of course, he was that all the time. And his body was wet with the dew of heaven. He had no clothing. His hairs were grown like eagle's feathers. He was dirty. and his nails like the bird's claws. At the end of 7 years, I, Nebuchadnezzar, lifted up mine eyes, and my understanding returned unto me. I blessed the Most High, and praised and honored him that lives forever, whose dominion is everlasting dominion, and his kingdom from generation to generation. And all the inhabitants of the earth are reputed as nothing. And he doeth according to his will in the army of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth. And none can stay his hand or say unto him, What doest thou? At the same time my reason returned unto me. And for the glory of my kingdom, mine honor and brightness returned unto me. And my counselors and my Lord sought unto me. And I was established in my kingdom, and excellent majesty was added unto me. Now I, Nebuchadnezzar, praise and extol and honor the King of heaven, all whose works are truth, and his ways judgment, and those that walk in pride he is able to abase. I don't know. Was the King Nebuchadnezzar saved or not? I don't know. But I'd like to think that he might have been. But I know this, we cannot experience the abundance of God's salvation and deliverance until we realize this truth that has been revealed to the King Nebuchadnezzar. The Almighty God is above all. And when we suffer, he suffers with us. Actually, he suffers the major part. And he leaves to us just a tiny portion, just to suffer as much as we can, and better yet, as much as we need to understand more of his wisdom, and to know that there is no wisdom other than his own. And only by his wisdom we can be wise. When we humble ourselves, and when we say, just as our Lord and our Master did, not mine, but thy will be done. May it be the prayer and desire of all God's people and my own that God's will be done always and his name's honor and glory be our endeavor and our only desire.